This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get going. It's a Tuesday game day for the Calgary Flames. The lone visit for Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins as Calgary looks to go to 5-1 early on in the season. Lots to get to on the show today. As always, we'll kick things off with Peter Labardius in just a couple moments here. Talk some Flames, talk a little bit about the Penguins, and just after 2:30 we'll have another edition of the Stamps Report from Matty Rose. CFL season, regular season, comes to an end with week 21. The Stampeders are at home on Saturday night against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Sounds like we're going to see Bo Levi Mitchell in that game for Calgary. And then, of course, the West semifinal in BC on Sunday, November 6th. So last week of regular season preparations for the Calgary Stampeders. Matty will bring us up to date with everything happening in the world of the Stamps coming up a little bit later on. But let's kick the program off like we always do and chat with our Flames insider, Peter Labardius. He's brought to you by the Gemini Group. Home renovations, your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good afternoon, Lou. How are you?
I am excellent. How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling about tonight? Penguins in town for their lone visit of the season.
Well, I'm always excited to watch this group. Darryl, I think, summed it up best when he talked about, you know, the incredible winning pedigree, starting with their owner and Mario Lemieux and Brian Burke and Sidney Crosby and, you know, copious amounts of Stanley Cups that run through. I think they're coached, frankly, by one of the premier bench bosses in all of hockey, Mike Sullivan. I'm not sure, you know, even publicly, sometimes he gets the type of credit that he deserves. You think about all the injuries, you know, that Pittsburgh has had to deal with, not only last year, but in recent years, and, you know, the standard set, not just by him, but obviously by Sidney and their great leadership group there. They're one of the premier franchises, and they had a couple of options, and one of those options was maybe to start thinking about going in a different direction or keep the band together. And in the summer, they kept the band together.
We'll chat a bit more about the Penguins coming up in just a little bit here. They suffered their first regulation loss of the season last night at the road in Edmonton, so the Flames get them on the back half of a back-to-back, and we'll chat about them and Sidney Crosby. Some interesting comments from Nazem Kadri today about Sidney and just the complimentary nature of how he sees them. So we'll get into that in a little bit, but we'll start with the Flames at morning skate today, Lou. No surprise to anybody. Continuity remains the theme for Daryl Sutter. 4-1 on the season so far. We've only seen the one game where there's only been one change, and that was Noah Hanifin out and Connor Mackey in. I don't think it'll surprise anyone, Lou, to hear that all the lines and D pairings were the same at practice this morning.
No, I don't think that would surprise anyone. It certainly would not surprise me. It would surprise me if there were changes, and who knows, maybe, you know, in the next 4 or 5 games. I always think you like to give things, especially with a lot of new people together, probably in the neighborhood of 10 before, you know, you really make any adjustments or you pull the pin on anything. And for the most part, you know, things have worked pretty well. The big question mark again was the health of Noah Hanifin, because he left practice early yesterday, and, you know, I don't think he's feeling 100%, and my guess is every time he plays a game, it takes him from whatever he's operating at to much less, and he'll be in the lineup tonight by the looks of things. Certainly he took the morning skate, so no change. Jacob Markstrom back in goal, who, by the way, in 2 games against the Pittsburgh Penguins last year, stopped 67 of 68, allowed only 1 goal in the 2 games versus the Penguins last season.
One guy you wanted to talk about today was the guy that actually led the Flames in minutes last game out against the Carolina Hurricanes. It was just over 7 minutes of ice time for Rasmus Anderson. He makes a great play to help set up the game-winning goal by Tyler Toffoli. I know Eric Francis, our colleague at Sportsnet, wrote a column about Rasmus at sportsnet.ca, and a lot of people, Lou, are starting to look at Rasmus in this year and wonder if this isn't a bit of a, I don't know if breakout's the right word, but a young man who's, I mean, it's still hard to believe he's a young defenseman in this league, but he really is, starting to find his own and maybe take another step in his game this season.
Well, he's off to a great start, certainly points-wise. He's tied for the team lead with Nazem Kadri with 6 points, coming off his second multi-point game of the season in the win over Carolina. But the one thing that I found interesting, even going back to the preseason, and I forget exactly what game it was, but there was one game in the preseason where I remember looking at the sheet when it was all said and done, and Rasmus was over 25 minutes. And you take a look at the history of the National Hockey League in the last 20, 21 years, a lot of teams that have won Stanley Cups have had number one defensemen. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that Rasmus is in the class of what you might think about in terms of being a number one defenseman. And, you know, I asked Daryl today in the Hot Stove Lounge, to a certain degree, you know, can you continue to work towards and transform someone into that type of role and scenario? And, you know, a lot of that situation in his mind comes down to minutes, and munching minutes for him and key minutes are huge, and that's generally what sets people apart. So Rasmus, you know, is a big component on their power play. I think he this year has demonstrated to be an even more valuable penalty killer than he has been in the past. And you start adding, Logan, those types of minutes to go hand in hand to your 5-on-5 minutes, well, you start creeping up. And I wondered, going back to that particular preseason game, because reps are really, really important. And here's an example I would give. I never thought in Dion Phaneuf's time in Calgary that when he was around the 27-minute mark, where, you know, Mike Keenan in particular, I think, was trying to get him there, I never felt like he was as effective in that minute range as he had been, you know, in his first few years in Calgary, or is down in that 22, 23 minute range. But you think about the evolution of Rasmus Anderson, who has gone from a guy who there was question about, you know, where he was at physically. He's made incredible strides. And the thing that I'm seeing, Logan, this year in his game, whether it's decisions he makes on the power play, you know, 5-on-5, he's 25 years old. And in a lot of cases, it takes time. That's outside of being a goalie, it's such a valuable position, and I think it's way harder to be a really good defenseman in the National Hockey League than it is to be a forward. I don't take anything away from being a terrific forward. But, you know, he is off to a good start, and he's logging some more minutes. Now, we'll see as the year goes on if, when it's all said and done, if he has a clear advantage in that category as opposed to anybody else in the group. But the minutes, the role, the responsibility, how he's playing, certainly right now, he's leading the way in that category and a couple of other important ones.
It's the Calgary Flames and the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight here on Sportsnet 960. Pete Lavardius will be on the call with Derek Wills at 7. He'll also join Pat for the Flames Talk pregame show at 6 o'clock tonight ahead of the only matchup at the Saddledome this year between the Penguins and the Flames. One thing we talk about on a pretty consistent basis here, Lou, and when it comes to Daryl Sutter and his team, is the importance of checking and how important that is to the Calgary Flames' success on a game-to-game basis. You obviously have your daily chat with Daryl on game days that'll go for the coaches show later on. And you talked to him about how he's felt about his group's checking and, you know, maybe if there's some room to improve in that area. And I thought he gave you quite the interesting answer when you guys talked in the Hot Stove Lounge a little earlier today.
It's not checking at all with our team right now. Our issue has clearly been turnovers, and turnovers from the top end of our lineup very, very clearly is difference in games. All parts of the game, I think that guys are having pushing a little bit for, I'm not saying cheat for chances, but you got to check for chances.
So I found that interesting, and when we talk about checking, that's not just what you do without it. That's everything, because it's how you check that leads to chances, as Daryl just talked about, and I found that remark quite interesting, and not interesting in the sense that I know what he wants. I know what his teams look like when they're playing the right way, and there's been some, you know, there's been some talk about what they have been able to do 5-on-5. Well, how you possess the puck, how you retrieve pucks, the types of decisions you make with the puck when you are in possession of it, those things to me are far more important in what really drives the most important possession. And when I look at the sport, what I see first and foremost, and there's lots of elements, is, you know, Logan, you can have the puck all night outside, but if you don't create, you know, high quality chances, then it's nice to have it. And Daryl does emphasize shot volume, and for good reason, because, you know, if you can retrieve and you have high shot volume, well, that draws teams' defenses out of their structure, which also leads to higher quality chances. But in the game, you know, versus Carolina, and maybe if we're talking a little bit about, you know, the Lindholm, Huberto, Toffoli line, 5-on-5, and they've yet to score a 5-on-5 goal, you know, there's probably been, how would I put this? Probably guys forcing things at times, you know, really wanting to make things happen, and certainly your work on the boards and winning some of those battles in your own zone in particular. So I did not think that they created very many chances against an excellent, excellent Carolina team. And while, you know, Vancouver might not be going very well, in fact, it's been awful to begin for the Canucks. I mean, they are capable, and they did it again last night, with their speed and puck pursuit and how connected they are in groups of five all over the ice, to throw a blanket on you. So we'll see how that part of the Flames game goes tonight. But to hear Daryl talk about guys at the top of the lineup are turning over too many pucks, I thought that was well worth sharing today.
How interested are you in seeing Jacob Markstrom back in net tonight, Lou?
In what respect?
I guess just in the respect that, you know, I do agree with a lot of people that said, hey, the final 45 minutes probably of that game against Carolina was a big step for Jacob, probably confidence-wise after letting in that first goal against Aho. And just because I think he's been in the spotlight so much this season, because the bar is so high for Jacob, and I think right now I'm just kind of curious on a day-to-day with Jacob how it's going to continue, because the schedule doesn't really help in the sense that, you know, for a guy that wants to get going and get on a roll, well, you're going to play tonight, and then you're going to have 3 days off, and you won't play against until Saturday against Edmonton, and then you have another couple of days off. It's just sort of a, I find an interesting spot for a guy that I feel like is just trying to get into a rhythm like Jacob is.
So were you asking in light of, am I surprised that he was playing again?
No, I guess just in the sense of where do you see that as a storyline? Are you a guy that's going to be putting a lot, obviously you're going to watch Jacob tonight, but how much stock are you going to put into what you see from him tonight?
No. No, I'm not. I'm not worried about him. I think I've said it already several times. Yes, he has set a high bar. I think he's absolutely trying to get himself into a rhythm. But, Logan, I know this sounds really simple. I care about one thing when it comes to team sports, winning. And, you know, he's had one tough go when the team didn't win a game. And while it has not been perfect or as elite as I guess some people expect him to be every night, I do know this. In a couple of recent wins, including the game Saturday, if he does not shut the door when he shut the door against Vegas and especially against Carolina, they don't win that game. And that, for me, is always far more important. Now, you don't want to give up bad goals and have your team chase games a lot, which the Flames have done a little bit more of after, you know, their first two games of the season when, you know, they put up 16 shots in the first period in their first two outings of the season against Colorado, and then they did the same in Edmonton a couple of days later. But what I want from my goalie is I want him to give my team a chance to win, and I need big saves at key times. And, you know, we remarked on it even yesterday. You think about not only his work during the penalty kill in the really important 4 minutes down the stretch of the third period, but, you know, his smarts and his savvy, his ability to get to a rim that led to a clear. There was a key moment when there was a little zone time in the back half of it where he reached out on a puck to stop and kill the play and allow Carroll and company to make changes and reset. So, you know, you want your number one guy to give you elite goaltending, but I want my number one guy to, you know, give me a chance to win every night. And it's not going to happen every single night, and he's not going to pitch 9 shutouts probably again this year because certain things and certain numbers are anomalies. But I do care a lot about whether the group puts itself in a position, regardless of who the player is, to win games. And he's their guy. And that's not taking anything away from Daniel Vidar, who the team is incredibly happy with, should be. He looks like he's taken another step. But Logan, take this for what it is. I've worked in a lot of different markets in my life. Edmonton. I've worked in Toronto for the better part of a decade. I worked in Winnipeg for a year. Obviously spent a lot of time in Saskatchewan. Been around the game my whole life. I've never seen a market like this where goalies take on the life that they do. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's, I agree. It's sort of a weird sentiment around the goaltending here. And, you know, despite being a Vezina Trophy finalist and so much is made of last year's end to the season, I understand why. It's an emotional side of things, how it ended with Edmonton. And, the start has been, I guess, up and down at times for Jacob, but yeah, it's very early on. And if there's a guy, I'm with you. If there's a guy I'm not really worried about when it comes to the Calgary Flames, he's probably at the top of the list. So he'll get the call tonight when the Penguins are in town. You mentioned he's got some good numbers against this crew from Pittsburgh.
See, here's the one quick difference.
Sure.
Okay, on this topic. So Mika Kiprusoff, including by myself, because it was an absolute pleasure to watch him go about his business each and every night. But remember, it's interesting how selective memories can be and how things start. Where did the team get to very shortly into Mika's career?
Stanley Cup final.
Stanley Cup final. So that does not take anything away from his brilliance. He was probably in his time, and in that time for me, when I was primarily either in another market or on the television side, I enjoyed watching him play more nightly than any other Calgary Flame in those days. I loved watching him play the position. He was great. I just wonder sometimes, you know, this community has waited so long to have a really good guy back there. Might want to, and I, listen, did I love the series against Edmonton? No, I didn't. Was he at his best? No, he wasn't. But is this guy, between leadership, accountability, use any word you want, culture, he did finish as a Vezina Trophy finalist, right?
Yep.
All right. I'm just saying this. To anybody who's questioning him, that's fine. That's your right. I just happen to believe in this guy a lot, and I just, you know, hope the fan base cuts the guy a little slack, because I think he's giving you something you haven't had since Mika left.
Well said. Let's end it off talking about the Penguins for a little bit here, Lou. They were up the road in Edmonton last night, fell to the Oilers, but the guy wearing 87 picked up a goal last night on the power play, his fourth of the season. That put him at 11 points on the season in six games. That's tied for second in the league, just a point behind Artemi Panarin of the New York Rangers, who leads the league in scoring with 12 points in six games so far this season. Sidney Crosby leading the resurgence. If you listen to anybody in Pittsburgh, he was a big reason that they decided to bring back Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang to take another run at this thing for another couple of seasons. And Nazem Kadri was asked about Sidney Crosby today after pregame skate, or the morning skate, I should say, and was pretty complimentary of what 87 brings to the ice. And Nazem's a guy that's played against Crosby for a large portion of his career. Here's Nazem on Sidney Crosby.
You know, father time doesn't seem to be a factor for him. He's just always making plays, and Sid's a smart player, you know, and to have longevity in this league, I think, you know, that hockey IQ has to be very, very relevant. So, you know, clearly he's got that, and, you know, he's got all the tools. It's just about, you know, keeping his body ready, and, you know, he does a great job at that as well.
Sidney Crosby, in one word, is greatness. And I don't throw that moniker around easily. And really, Logan, the most impressive thing about him is his work. And the reason he continues to be great and continue to be one heck of a player is because his work ethic always has and always will be second to none. Is he incredibly skilled? Yes. Is he incredibly intelligent? Absolutely. But his work and his commitment to his craft and his work and his will and want to lead and win is why he is great. And he cannot do it any other way. He's not interested. And I guarantee, when he feels like he can't put in that kind of work, he probably won't play anymore.
Anything strike you about this Penguins team? You obviously talked about them bringing back Malkin and Letang.
There is one thing.
Yeah, give it to me.
There's one really important thing for me, and that's on defense. So you know, they bring back Chris Letang, who has a chance to reach the 1,000 game plateau, and, you know, coming off, hard to believe, his biggest year in terms of points last season was 68, 10 and 58 for 68. Been a terrific player for a long, long time. But the addition, Logan, of Jeff Petrie, I think has really, really helped solidify their top four. Now, I would not use last night's second period as a judging mark. In turn, now, they couldn't check their hat as a group in the second period last night in Edmonton, and we know when those guys get rolling, that can happen, and it did. But adding Petrie, I think, has really stabilized their group in an area where I don't feel like they've had enough stability since they've won the Stanley Cup, and even the addition of, you know, Jan Rita and all the winning he has done in recent years in Tampa is, you know, what would I call him? For Flames fans, Jan Rita, and arguably better, has been to Tampa what Eric DeBranson was last year to the Calgary Flames. Hard, heavy, solid, can chip in, kills penalties, big body, block shots. So I really think, besides bringing, you know, Ringo and everybody in the back, again, I really like what they've done with their defense. And Marcus Pettersson, a former second-round pick of the Anaheim Ducks, I think he's a bit of an underrated shutdown guy as well. So, and Brian Dumoulin, to me, is never talked about enough. You know, he's kind of Pittsburgh's number eight, and he is number eight, literally. He's kind of Pittsburgh's Tanev for me. So I like what they've done there. I think it's not perfect, and most teams aren't perfect back there. But that to me, they've really solidified that. That's an area that I think is really going to help them this season.
Looking forward to tonight. Should be a good one. The lone visit to Calgary for Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Get out of here, Lou. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We'll see you at the Dome a little later, pal.
I will. Okay, pal. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you tonight.
Thank you. There you go. Our Flames insider, Peter Labardius. He's brought to you by the Gemini Group. Home renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Flames, Penguins, 7 o'clock tonight. From the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. 6 o'clock Flames warm up with Pat Steinberg and Peter Labardius. Then Lou joins Derek for the call of the Flames and the Penguins at 7 right here on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Final week of the regular season is here in the CFL. The Calgary Stampeders getting prepared for their home finale on Saturday against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Doesn't mean anything in the standings, but it's got a little extra meaning for a couple of Stampeders in particular. They were back at work today, and that means Matt Rose has your Calgary Stampeders report. It's next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
So it's a doubleheader of Calgary sports on Saturday night. Doesn't happen very often, but it does happen every now and then. Saturday we'll have McMahon Stadium going at 6 o'clock with the Calgary Stampeders in their season and home finale against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And then a couple hours later at 8 o'clock at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, the Battle of Alberta, Flames and Oilers. Welcome back to Sportsnet Today. It's Logan Gordon along with you. 960-960 on the text line. Questions, comments, concerns, queries, whatever you want to throw in there, criticisms. You want to take a shot at Jordan the Web Guy? You can absolutely do that. He's hanging out here in our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. That's the one thing about Calgary sports that doesn't happen very often is we never get the crossover because the Hitmen and the Roughnecks obviously are tenants in the Saddle Dome as well. Wranglers now too. But we never usually double up sporting events. Are you, as a Calgary sports fan, okay with that? I'm guessing timing-wise, if you wanted to go to both, you'd miss a good chunk of the Flames and the Oilers. And admittedly, as we'll get to in a minute here with the Stamps report, that Stamps game Saturday doesn't hold the type of importance late in the season that fans or the CFL were hoping when they booked the Riders and the Stamps for the last week of the regular season. But ideally, would you go to both if it was a 5 o'clock kickoff at McMahon? Big game between the Riders and the Stamps. Would you then, you know, hop on the train, head downtown to go see the Flames and the Oilers? One sporting event enough for you on a Saturday night? Is it an either-or thing? And I understand there's going to be people who aren't on either side or aren't going to be fans of both. But I know that plenty of people do like the CFL here and do like the Flames. Curious about that because we don't see those overlaps very often. And again, do I think it's going to be a big issue on Saturday? No, probably not. Stampeders and Riders doesn't affect the standings in any way, shape, or form. And it's a Battle of Alberta coming off of last year's crazy playoff series, so I think I know where people are going to lean. But again, I am generally curious if a double sporting event night is something that people would like to see more of in the city of Calgary. 960-960 on the text line. We'll read some of your texts a little bit later on. We are focused on the Flames and the Penguins tonight, however, from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Our one chance to see Sidney Crosby and company in person. Sid's off to a red-hot start this season. 35 years old now. Doesn't slow him down at all. He's up to 11 points in 6 games. Scored his 4th of the season on the power play last night in their loss to Edmonton. First regulation loss of the season for Pittsburgh, so it should be a pretty motivated group coming in here. We'll see how their legs are on the second half of a back-to-back. But I promised it earlier. Let's get to it now. Stampeders getting set for their final matchup of the regular season. That means they were back at work at McMahon Stadium this afternoon. And that means Matt Rose has your Calgary Stampeders report for this Tuesday, October 25th.
The Calgary Stampeders have one more game left in the regular season. They resumed practice ahead of that Saturday game on Tuesday. Calgary's coming off a victory in Saskatchewan over the weekend and a weekend of results that has solidified the playoff bracket. The Stampeders will finish third and go to BC for the West Division semifinal on November the 6th. If they win, it'll be on to Winnipeg where the defending champs await their challenger. And if they win that, it's back to Regina for the Grey Cup. As it stands, the Stampeders don't have anything to battle for this season. As one game remains, the Riders players will be fighting for new contracts next year, their respective jobs, really. Dave Dickinson was asked by Post Media's Danny Austin if they'll start taking an early look at BC, given the circumstances of Saturday's game.
We played them, recently enough, so no, not yet. We're just going to take care of business. We got an extra day because the playoff games are on Sundays. We'll have enough time. I think they know us, we know them, and we hadn't played SAS. We got the back-to-back, so I think there will be some opportunities later in the week if we want to try to get ahead, but not right now.
The Stampeders continue to get healthy as the postseason approaches. Look like Kamar Jordan and Titus Wall, among others, could be inching closer to a return. Still very early in the week, but a good sign that even more reinforcements could be on the way.
It's going to be some decisions, but just about everybody practiced in some capacity, and a lot of them were full, so that's a good thing. We're looking to come out and play good football and get better as a team. That's our goal this week, and we'll have some options. We'll see what the roster looks like when I finalize it after day 3.
It will be intriguing to see how some of those players progress during the practice week, because as the head coach went on to mention, it would be great to get the injured guys some snaps before the playoffs, but if they're not ready, they're not ready.
As long as I feel I'm not putting them into a spot that's a little too risky, I don't necessarily think anyone needs to, like, gut one out in this game because I've got enough options. Now, at certain positions, there are no other options, so that will occur, and it is what it is. That's professional football. But, yeah, if it's close and I feel like it's best just to let them have one more week, I will.
Saturday's game will go at 6 p.m. at McMahon Stadium. Definitely not for sure, but I do wonder if Bo Levi Mitchell gets some snaps in. Final home game of the season. He's a pending free agent. They signed Jake Mayer to an extension in season. You just got to wonder. The Stampeders also announced the President's Ring winner for 2022 on Tuesday, presented to the Stampeders player who best demonstrates excellence on and off the field as voted by the players. This year's winner is 7th-year defensive tackle Derek Wigan. He started all 17 games at tackle this year, helping the Stamps defense lead the league in sacks and be tops amongst run defense and points allowed. A deserving winner, said head coach Dave Dickinson.
Yeah, you know, he has a very some solid candidates, and we're real happy with what Wigo does for our club, and he's well respected in our locker room. But I think our leadership is solid. I think this has been one of the more enjoyable years I've ever coached, because I just feel like it starts in that room and they hold each other accountable. They do a lot of good stuff, and happy for Derek.
And pretty cool for the first time winner Wigan to get this in his 7th year with the Stampeders, a veteran of 115 regular and postseason games with the Red and White. A Grey Cup champion in 2018, Dave Dickinson still remembers when he was drafted in the 4th round, 34th overall, back in 2014.
I mean, I remember when we drafted him. I remember it vividly. He had like a bigger lower body, but, you know, he was still in that 255 range. And I'm not sure he's hit the three bills yet, but he's approaching that. He's been really good for us. And what I like is I do believe he's gotten better. And that's hard to do when you've been here this long. So just congratulations to him, and that shows you what the guys think of him.
The man himself, Derek Wigan, your President's Ring winner, also took the time to speak with the assembled media after practice on Tuesday.
Honored, super honored, like, you know, to be voted by my peers. That's like, you know, can't take that lightly, you know. So it's just, you know, just, yeah, very proud, very honored.
Does it make it that much extra special because it's your peers and not the...
Yeah, 100%, 100%, because, like, those guys know me. Like, you know, like, I come to work and, you know, I try to be the same guy every day. So it's, you know, it's great, it's great. And, you know, it's just thinking about the past guys that have won it here and, the, like, what type of leaders they were. So it's nice to, you know, be in the same breath as those guys.
Does it kind of make you reflect? Because, you know, it wasn't all that long ago. You were a young guy kind of breaking in. Now you're a leader and you're being acknowledged as a leader.
Yeah, no, it's special. It's special because, like, you know, we've had so many great dudes come through this locker room that are still in this locker room. So it's just nice to be, like, mentioned with those guys, because those guys were great players for so many years, and I looked up to them.
How did you find out, and how surprised were you?
Jean let me know that I had one, and then, like, I was kind of like, whoa, like, you know, it's kind of, you think of, just think about all the past guys that won, like, oh, wow, like, it's an honor to be considered that.
That's President's Ring winner Derek Wigan, and he's right. It's a list 37 names deep of past winners, including guys like Henry Burris, Danny Barrett, and Stu Laird, who all won it 3 times. Other 2-time winners include Rob Cote, Keon Raymond, Jay McNeil, and Alan Pitts. The CFL also announced their Players of the Week on Tuesday. Rookie running back Dedrick Mills was one of 3 names called. In his 5th game this season, he racked up 103 yards on 11 carries for his second 100-yard rushing performance this season. He also had a rushing touchdown on 3 grabs for 22 yards. It was his first touchdown in the CFL. Strangely enough, 2 of the 3 Calgary running backs have been named top performers, the other being Peyton Logan, the league's leading rusher. Kadeem Carey and his 1,088 yards on just 164 carries has not been a player of the week. Not taking anything away from the performance that Mills had, just kind of figured that Carey would have had his name called at least once this season. Here's head coach Dave Dickinson on Mills getting the league-wide nod.
But I'm not surprised. There were some good performances this week. And, you know, for playing just over half a game, that was very impressive. Still not sure how our roster is going to look, though. So he just works. He loves life. He comes out here and takes his role and does the most with what he has. And like I said, I thought he had a great week.
And also wanted to play this from Stamps TV. Loved this after their game on Saturday against the Riders. Kadeem Carey and Dedrick Mills took some time to speak to the media together. They've been tied at the hip this season. Carey's a veteran. Mills is a rookie, but they've been 2 peas in a pod all year long. Really them and Peyton Logan. You'll hear Carey first, followed by Mills, but they were able to speak to the media together after their victory victory on Saturday.
Ball, man. We talked about it all week. Us dressing out together, performing, him, you know, bulldozing people. I ain't gonna say what I really want to say. And then me going on being sweet toes, man, we handled our business.
We talked about this earlier in the week. We're gonna do this 1-2 punch and you get in, you're gonna see each other, tap each other helmet, just to wear him down in the back. And then when I wear him down, he come in and just bust it open for him, you know? So that's what happened tonight. And we look very good, I feel like.
When you got the touchdown, I'm assuming you were like, I gotta get the touchdown too, Matt, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we had a story,
had a story about this one, yeah.
I come out, we on the goal line, and this man is working his butt to go down there. I mean, he is toting the fed. And then all of a sudden, did the little tap out.
He looked over at me, said,
stay in there.
So then I get another play, and then I get actually to the goal line, and I look up, I say, nah, I can't get this.
It was 1 yard. I was like, cool.
I let him come in and get there. And then the next drive, he come down and do me the same exact way. He get it down. Hey, all right, we just switch it.
Hey, I know I felt like I took it away from him, so I had to go return the favor, get us down there, throw my 3-4 in there. So, man, it's all love. We know they don't want to
beat us. Were you keeping close eye on how close you were to 100 yards?
We just running the ball at first, but then towards the last part of the game, I say, yo, how many I got? And they say 97. And I went in the O-line. Need three more. I got y'all this week, just 3 more. They got me 5, so.
Hey, that's what I like. And we talked about it in the beginning of the week, man. Both of our goals was to go over 100.
Yeah.
You know, we had time. I think we could easily do that.
Yeah.
But I'm happy, man. He secured the job with the touchdown and 100. And that's just, man, that's motivation for the running back room. Like I said, I pretty saw this year about my running backs, our running backs, man. We are the most talented group that you go see. And I can't wait to show this thing in the playoffs, man. We are something special.
Those two, Kadeem Carey and Dedrick Mills, joined at the hip. Great call to get them both out there together. They could feed off each other in front of the media after the win on Saturday. Congrats to Dedrick Mills, one of the CFL's players of the week. Closed practice for Calgary on Wednesday. Thursday, back to an open session and the final injury report before depth charts get released Friday morning for the Stampeders and Rough Riders' final game of the regular season Saturday night. With your Stamps report, I'm Matt Rose.
Thank you, Matty. Always appreciate a Stamps report with Matt Rose. You can catch Matt on the big show in the morning with Russick and Rose every single day here on Sportsnet 960, Monday to Friday, I should say, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., or wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, et cetera. You can download the big show in the morning with Russick and Rose. Threw this out on the text line before we got to the Stamps report there. A unique situation on Saturday where we have two sporting events in Calgary at the, well, I think we'll cross over based on how long the games usually go. Stamps and Riders go at 6, Oilers and Flames at 8. I was curious to get some of the listeners' perspective on that. How did you feel? Do you like having both in the same night? Would you prefer them to be a little bit more spaced out? Here are some of the texts at 960-960. This text says, I think both games same night is perfect. I'd love to go to both. Maybe this is Bo's last game too. I think that's a level of intrigue that's going to be interesting for sure. I think going back to when Jake Mayer was signed midway through the season to that extension, it sort of spoke about where the Stamps were with Bo Levi. I wouldn't be surprised if this was sort of a last hurrah for him at McMahon Stadium. This text says, not really thrilled about it. Really wanted to go to the Stamps last game of the season, but I'm not going to miss the Flames-Oilers game. That's the thing for me, too, in all of this. There's only 3 battles of Alberta this year, so it's not like you can sit there and say, okay, well, I'll definitely go to the next one. There's only a finite amount this year. It's not like most years where maybe you'd have, I think there should be at least 2 or 3 opportunities per side to go to a Battle of Alberta. 3 for me is just way too small of an amount, especially coming off of the momentum they had in that playoff series last year. We're talking just after the Christmas break, Flames and Oilers from Calgary finishes off the season series. That's, to me, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'll always enjoy any of them. But at the same time, I don't know, March, February, Flames-Oilers would be pretty nice, too, if there were some playoff seating on the line or a chance to, you know, hurt or help someone's playoff chances. I'd be way more into that. This text says, I'm a huge Riders fan and Flames fan, and I've been living in Calgary for over 5 years now since moving from Regina. I don't really like having both at the same time. It would be the only time this year I get to see my Riders play, but I've also never been to a BOA. If the Riders and Oilers, which are arguably their best opponents popularity-wise, come to town, those are usually the biggest selling Stamps games of the year, and I feel like it kind of hurts that. Yeah, I agree. That's actually a good point, too, on the CFL side of things. the Riders Stamps doing a home and home to finish off the season, and us only seeing Saskatchewan once. Now, given some Riders fans are going to be happy that, based on how their teams performed this year, they don't have to see them, because it's been pretty terrible for the green and white this year. But at the same time, yeah, if it's your only opportunity to see your team, you're not going to go to Regina or Edmonton or anywhere else to see them. Yeah, that's a disappointing thing for you, because now you're caught in between. And like I said, with a 6 p.m. start and an 8 p.m. start, if you are one of those people that's going to try to go to both, that's not really feasible. I don't really like how that works out timing-wise. Maybe if we were talking at least an afternoon Stampeder start, I'd be a little bit more open to that thought process. But yeah, it's a tough one. The year and, you know, the results aside, I think that's usually a pretty big pull at McMahon is when the Riders come to town. And last but not least, Matt and Cochran says, feel like divisional games should be at least 4, 2 home and 2 away. Yeah. Still plenty of time in an 82-game schedule for them to get to every arena at least once, home and away. I've loved since the NHL has done that, but I'm with you, Matt. I don't understand why we haven't seen more of an emphasis on divisional games, especially the interprovincial ones that, to me, are the best rivalries. I need to see more than 3 battles of Alberta in a year. Feels like we got shortchanged on that this season. That's going to do it for Sportsnet today. Shout out to Peter Labardius for joining us, as he always does. A big thank you to Maddie for the Stamps report. If you missed anything, it'll be available for you online at sportsnet.ca/960 or wherever you get your podcast. Keep it locked here on Sportsnet 960. The Hockey PDO cast is coming up next with Dmitry Filipovich. And at 4 o'clock, Pat Steinberg has your Calgary Flames, Flames talk. I was going to say Flames warm-up. Flames talk leading into Calgary Flames warm-up tonight. Flames warm-up starts at 6 with Steinberg and Labardius. Wills and Lubo call the Flames and the Penguins. 7 o'clock tonight, right here on Sportsnet 960. Thanks to Taylor and Cam on the board today. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.